Well, it's definitely going to increase access to care. Close to 600,000 people in Arkansas will have access now through the program. The question is, with the physician shortage that exists across the country, how difficult will it be for those people to get in to see doctors when they want to?
Joe, ask you the same question. Do you think that this is going to improve the healthcare system in America?
Yeah, I think our healthcare system is at a tipping point. 25% of Arkansans 19 to 64, the 600,000, don't have any source of financial coverage, and yet over half of those have a chronic condition that needs to be treated. So this is going to give financial access. We are working to make sure that they have real access to get in to see a clinician when they need to.
Mike, I ask you, you said that there's obviously some problems with the law. What would you change to make this law better? Or if you could start from scratch, which some people have suggested should be done, what would you do to make healthcare better in America, things that the law is not doing right now?
One of the big problems we have with healthcare in this country is the basic economic model for how healthcare is purchased doesn't really work the way most other economic models work. In healthcare, we have a consumer, person A, who's getting services from a provider, person B, but someone else, person C, is paying for it. And so the true value relationship between the consumer and the provider isn't really understood as well because somebody else is paying for it. And that because of that, there are consumption and utilization problems in the country.
Mm. Joe, what would you do? What would you change that's not in the law today?
I'd put some of the same things that Mike's talking about, you know, even in our Medicaid program, to have some minimal cost sharing so that individuals paid $1, $5, $10 for a visit, maybe even more to go to the emergency room. The other thing that I would try to align with is I think too often we're looking at short-term solutions. We need skin in the game for staying healthy and not needing health care in the future. We've got 10% of our state's adults that have type 2 diabetes directly related to obesity. We've got to have some incentives to have people not get those conditions that are going to be so costly over time.
Let's talk about what is in the federal law, still staying at the federal level here. There was some language in there that talks about Medicaid expansion. Kind of put it in layman's terms for me. What's your interpretation of what the states can do now?
Sure. Well, the federal government in the Affordable Care Act through Congress's action required all states to come up to a minimum level, 135% of the federal poverty level. Our state's at about 26% now, or $6,000 for a family of four. What the Supreme Court said is that the offer is still there, but that the federal government can't require states to do that.
And you've got some Republican legislators in Arkansas that are using that interpretation of the Medicaid expansion as a reason to not conform with the federal health care law. Do they have a valid argument?
Well, I think we have both Democrat and Republican leaders that are concerned about the federal fiscal budget, as well we should be. But the expansion of Medicaid is 100% paid for by the federal government for the first several years, and then it moves down to be a 90-10 match, where for every dime the state puts up, the feds put 90%. This is an enormous opportunity for the state to leverage its resources and to get care and access to financial insurance to 500,000 folks that have never had that opportunity.
Mike, how do you guys deal with the 500,000 folks that don't have insurance? How does that impact your company's approach to healthcare reform?
Well, the biggest impact it's going to have on not only QualChoice but other insurers in the state is how we'll get access to those people. It's going to be through some type of exchange that will be set up in the state, which the easiest way to explain it to the public is it's going to be like an Expedia.com for healthcare, where there'll be a website that you can go to and pick and choose among your insurance carriers. We'll be asked or have the option, do we want to offer our products in that exchange? And that's where people will go to get their coverage if they're going to be eligible for a subsidy from the federal government.
Joe can tell you there's been a lot of reluctance to adopt this healthcare exchange. I've covered this a lot in our business coverage and our political coverage. Do you support the healthcare exchanges? Do you think this is a good idea that we should be doing this regardless of healthcare reform?
Well, just the concept of an exchange, I mean, there are exchanges that exist in the country today, and we participate in private run exchanges that are out there right now. So it's a good way to get access. It decreases the cost of distribution in delivering healthcare services to people. So we're not opposed to the concept of an exchange. The question is, to offer a product in exchange, you have to have a benefit plan that meets what the federal government calls essential health benefits. Those still aren't exactly known. They're being defined in this state. Every state has the option to define those independently. What will they be, and then what's it going to cost for those essential health benefits? It has to be something that people can afford.
politically speaking, do you think that the health care decision from the Supreme Court is going to alleviate some of that reluctance to adopt a health care exchange in Arkansas?
I think the exchange is going to give options and opportunities for both individuals as well as small businesses to have more choice. And I think that's always going to be a positive so that people can compare before they actually have to outlay money for insurance. I will say, I think the whole Affordable Care Act has been caught up in national presidential politics, and I think if we can cut through some of the rhetoric, we'll see some of the benefits and be able to avoid some of the pitfalls.
Let's shift to what's happening here in the state of Arkansas, because the Medicaid situation that we're dealing with in the state of Arkansas is separate from the federal health care law. A lot of people have confused and combined that. We're talking about in Arkansas moving from a fee-for-payments service model to an episodic care model. Both of you give me your definition of how this system is going to kind of work. I want to see if you're on the same page here.
Sure. Let me go first.
Okay.
And it's not just Medicaid. Our private sector, the insurance premiums have doubled in the last 10 years. So both the public and the private are facing unsustainable rising costs. The way I look at this bundle payment is the payors are really trying to assign responsibility to a clinical quarterback who's responsible for an episode of care. Right now, every individual provider gets paid separately. There's no incentive to work together. And what the payers are doing is they're saying, we want a quarterback who not only is clinically responsible, but has some financial skin in the game for making the best outcomes happen.
And I've heard you, Mike, use the general contractor's example
before. Well, the way healthcare is delivered today is on a fee-for-service basis. The problem with that is it can reward the people. Well, it does not reward people who really don't render care as efficiently as possible, and it doesn't give any incentives to get more efficient today. So a system like episodic payments can create more of a value proposition between the patient and the providers so that there's a better understanding and that the people who are paying for it in that economic model I described before really are paying for a value that's determined up front and everyone agrees what the outcome is going to be. We're really looking for defining outcomes up front and working towards an agreed upon outcome rather than just paying for every touch that a provider has with a patient.
I hear from a lot of folks that are concerned with changing the status quo. Do you think that the healthcare community in general is ready for this transition?
Probably not, because it's going to require a lot of change in the way they've done things. No one likes change no matter what it is. It creates uncertainty and that type of thing. But it does create an opportunity here for them to regain some reward down the road and improve their practices. And hopefully it should also then increase access, because we're going to have an access problem in this country.
One more point on this too. Why did you guys jump on board with this enthusiastically?
We really did it because we believe that there is an opportunity to improve the value proposition between the consumer and the physicians and the providers, that there's just some inefficiency that exists in the system, and this is an opportunity to take some of that inefficiency out of the system, but allow the providers to do it and not have it be forced on them by the payers.
Joe, you guys are at this July 1st deadline here of starting to implement this. It's not going to be very apparent for the first few months. Tell me what providers are going to see. What's the health community in large going to see in the first couple of months?
Sometime later in July or August, from each of the payers, QualChoice, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Medicaid, providers who are going to be the quarterback are going to get kind of a score sheet so that they know where they are, where they're starting. And then sometime later in the year or the first part of next year, the alignment of financial incentives so that the quarterback's performance is part of what their pay scale is. For an orthopedic surgeon doing hip and knee replacements, it might be how many, you know, reoperations have to happen. For a hospital with congestive heart failure, it might be how many rehospitalizations happen in the first 30 days. These are things that can be influenced and impacted, and the fewer rehospitalizations, the fewer time Mike's company is going to have to pay for that extra hospitalization.